The Inquisition, a history of Christian torture, mass murder, and destruction of human life. And here's a quote by Friedrich Nietzsche. The Christian resolve to find the world evil and ugly has made the world evil and ugly. Today the Christian Church does not have the power it once had, yet we have witnessed the Christian abuses of children, child rape, molestation, and other vile acts that reveal the true nature of many Christians and the effects their God has had upon his followers. The pedophilia scandals are just a small sample of what Christians are capable of. This is due to the evil energy they tie into. God and the devil are backwards. This can plainly be seen in the Old Testament, where that God of Christianity was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. Years ago, when the Christian Church had complete control over government, human life, and spirit, we can see from the Inquisition just how sick these people are and just what lengths they will go to get you to accept Jesus. Just as is seen in the numerous Christian abuses of children today, years ago with the Inquisition, girls as young as 9 and boys as young as 10 were tried for witchcraft. Children much younger were tortured to extract testimony against their parents. Children were then flogged while they were watched their parents burn. The Inquisition was early communism. The Catholic Church was the NKVD and KGB of the Middle Ages. For more detailed information, read The Gulag Archipelago by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. The Inquisition and Communism. Both Jewish programs are both nearly identical systems of mass murder, torture, and enslaving the masses. Here's a quote. Christianity and communism are very close spiritually and ideologically. This is a fairly well-known concept that has been adopted by various thinkers from Thomas More to Lev Tolstoy. Few people know that the world's first socialist state was established in Paraguay and was based on the ideas of Catholic Jesuits before Marx created his teachings. The Society of Jesus, the Jesuit religious order, and the Catholic Church was roughly equivalent to the KGB in the Soviet Union. The above quotes were taken from Pravda, the main Communist Party newspaper and leading newspaper of the former Soviet Union, from the article, Is There Any Difference Between Christianity and Communism? 30th of April, 2013. Truth be known, nearly all of the inquisitors and high-ranking Catholic clergy were Jews. A documented case in the Silesian town of Neisse reveals a huge oven was constructed, which over a 10-year period, more than 1,000 condemned witches, some as young as 2 years old, were roasted alive. Many victims were also extremely old, some in their 80s. This made no difference to the church. The Christian church murdered, tortured, mutilated, and destroyed millions and millions of lives, both directly through the Inquisition and indirectly through all the years they incited, through all the wars they incited. The damage and destruction this foul religion has perpetrated against humanity is almost beyond comprehension. Most people aren't even aware of the facts. Between the years of 1450 through 1600, the Christian Church was responsible for the torture and burning of some 30,000 alleged witches. During the reign of the Roman Emperor Constantine, CE 306 through 337, the doctrines of the Christian Church were regarded as the foundation of law. Heretics, persons who opposed church teachings, or who were accused of such, were sought out, tortured, and eventually murdered. Heresy was an offense against the state as well as the church. For hundreds of years, civil rulers tried to stamp out all heresy. As early as CE 430, the church leaders declared heresy punishable by death. In CE 906, the Canon Episcopi was the first church body to expressly forbid the use of witchcraft. Before the Inquisition was fully underway, the church accepted heretics back into the fold under terms it considered reasonable. The following is an example. For 3 Sundays, the heretic was stripped to the waist and whipped from the entrance of the town village all the way to the church door. He/she was to permanently deny him or herself meat, eggs, and cheese, except on Easter, Pentecost, and Christmas, where he/she is to eat of them as a sign of his or her penance. For 20 days, twice a year, he or she was to avoid fish, and for 3 days in each week, fish, wine, and oil, fasting, if his or her health would permit. He or she was to wear monastic vestments with a small cross sewn on each breast. He or she was to hear Mass daily. 7 times a day, he or she was to recite the canonical hours and, in addition, at Paternoster, 10 times each day and 20 times each night. He or she was to observe total abstinence from sex. Every month, he or she was to report to a priest who was to keep the heretic under close observation. He or she was to be segregated from the rest of the community. There is no precise date for the beginning of the Inquisition. Most sources agree it manifested during the first 6 years of the reign of the Catholic Pope Gregory IX, between 1227 and 1233. Pope Gregory IX, who ruled from 1227 to 1241, is often referred to as the father of the Inquisition. The Inquisition was a campaign of torture, mutilation, mass murder, and destruction of human life perpetrated by Christians in their Jewish root. The Church increased in power until it had total control over human life, both secular and religious. The Vatican wasn't satisfied with the progress made by religious leaders in rooting out heresy. Pope Innocent III commissioned his own inquisitors, who answered directly to him. Their authority was made official by the papal bull of March 25, 1199. Innocent declared anyone who attempted to construe a personal view of God which conflicted with the church dogma must be burned without pity. In 1254, to ease the job of the inquisitors, Pope Innocent IV decreed that accusers could remain anonymous, preventing the victims from confronting them and defending themselves, just like in communism. Many churches had a chest where informants would slip written accusations against their neighbors. 3 years later, he authorized and officially condoned torture as a method of extracting confessions of heresy. Victims were tortured in one room, and then, if they confessed, they were led away from the chamber into another room to confess to the inquisitors. This way, it could be claimed the confessions were given without the use of force. The inquisitional law replaced common law. Instead of innocent until proven guilty, it was guilty until proven innocent. Inquisitors grew very rich, accepting bribes and fines from the wealthy who paid to avoid being prosecuted. The wealthy were prime targets for the church, who confiscated their property, land, and everything they had for generations. The Inquisition took over all of the victims' possessions upon accusation. There is very little, if any, chance of proving oneself innocent, so this is one way the Catholic Church grew very wealthy. Pope Innocent stated that since God punished children for the sins of their parents, they had no right to be legal heirs to the property of their parents. Unless children came forth freely to denounce their parents, they were left penniless. Inquisitors even accused the dead of heresy, in some cases as much as 70 years after their death. They exhumed and burned the victims' bones and confiscated all property from their heirs, leaving them with nothing. The actions of the inquisitors had devastating effects on the economy that left entire communities totally impoverished while the church glutted with wealth. They also crippled the economy by holding certain professions suspect. Inquisitors believed the printed word to be a threat to the church and interfered with communication brought about by the invention of the printing press in the 15th century. Maps, cartographers, traveling merchants, and traders were all placed under intense suspicion, a threat to the church. Although the church had begun murdering people it deemed heretics in the 4th century, and again in 1022 at Orlean, papal statutes of 1231 insisted heretics suffer death by fire. Burning people to death prevented the spilling of blood. John 15:6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather and cast them into the fire as they are burned. The pedophilia witness today is just a small example of the insanity and the twisted, warped minds of most Christians and where any power that they obtain leads to. The witch hunts, 1450 through 1750, were what R.H. Robbins, the Encyclopedia of Witchcraft and Demonology, called the shocking nightmare, the foulest crime and deepest shame of Western civilization. In this 300-year period, the Church stepped up the mass murder and systematic torture of innocent human beings. Torturers were allowed as much time as they needed to torture their victims. Most counts demanded that prior to the torture, the victim be thoroughly shaved, claiming that any demon left undetected in the victim's body hair might intervene to deaden the pain that the torturers inflicted or answer for the victim. Doctors would be in attendance if it seemed the victim might die from the torture. The victim would then be allowed to recover a little before more torture was applied. If the victim died during the torture, inquisitors claimed the devil intervened with the purpose of sparing the victim further pain or preventing them from revealing his secrets. Those who fainted had vinegar poured into their nostrils to revive them. The victims' families were required under law to reimburse the courts for the cost of torture. Entire estates were seized by the Church. Priests blessed the torture instruments prior to their being used. Certain devices were employed to inflict the maximum pain, indisputable evidence of the sick Christian mind. The Judas Cradle. The victim was pulled up by a rope or chain and then lowered to the point. The torturer controlled the pressure by attaching weights to the victim or rocking or raising and dropping the victim from various heights. The Brodequin, also known as the boots. The brodequin was used to crush the legs by tightening the device by hand or using a mallet for knocking in the wedges to smash the bones until the bone marrow spurted out. People who passed out were further condemned as the losing of consciousness to be a trick from the devil in order to escape pain. Burning the feet. Oil, lard, and grease were applied to the feet before roasting them over a fire. A screen was used to control or increase the pain as exposure to the fire was applied on and off for maximum suffering. Also as a variation, some victims were forced to wear large leather or metal boots into which boiling water or molten lead was poured. Hanging in the strappado. The victim's hands were bound behind the back. They were then yanked up to the ceiling of the torture chamber by a pulley and a rope. Dislocation ensued. Christians preferred this method as it left no visible marks of torture. Heavy weights were often strapped to the victim to increase the pain and suffering. Squassation was a more extreme form of torture. This method entailed strapping weights as much as hundreds of pounds, pulling limbs from their sockets. Following this, the Christian inquisitor would quickly release the ropes so they would fall towards the floor. At the last second, the Christian inquisitor would again yank the rope. This dislocated virtually every bone in the victim's body. Four applications were considered enough to kill even the strongest of victims. Many were hung upside down as well until strangulation ensued. The heretic's fork. This device was often used to silence the victim on the way to the burning of the stake, so they could not reveal what had occurred in the torture chamber or defend themselves in any way. Ripping the flesh. Christian clergy delighted in the tearing and ripping of the flesh. The Catholic Church learned a human being could live until the skin was peeled down to the waist, when skinned alive. Often the rippers were heated to red hot and used on women's breasts and in the genitalia of both sexes. Breast rippers. The iron torture chair was studded with spikes. The victim was strapped and nude, and a fire was lit beneath the chair. Heavy objects were also used. They were placed upon the victim to increase the pain of the spikes. Blows and mallets were also inflicted. Often other torturous devices were applied with the chair, such as the flesh-ripping pincers shown above and leg-crushing devices. Okay, there's pictures on here. If you want to see the pictures of all this, exposingchristianity.com article on Inquisition. Okay, skull crusher. This one speaks for itself. Christian clergy preferred this device because it did not leave visible marks unless the skull was completely crushed, which happened. The rack. The rack, also known as a ladder, was another device that was used extensively. The procedure was to place the nude or near-nude victim horizontally on the ladder erect. Ropes were used to bind the arms and legs like a tourniquet. The knot could be steadily twisted to draw tight the ropes and stretch the victim to where the muscles and ligaments tore and bones broke. Often heavy objects were placed upon the victim to increase the pain. This was considered by the church to be one of the milder forms of torture. The wheel. The nude victim was stretched out, lying face downward on the ground or on the execution dock, with her arms and legs spread, and tied to stakes or iron rings. Wooden cross pieces were placed under the wrists, elbows, ankles, knees, and hips. The inquisitor then smashed limb after limb and joint after joint, including the shoulders and hips, with the iron tiered edge of the wheel, taking care not to bring about the death of the victim. There were splinters of smashed bones, blood spurted everywhere, and the victim's entire skeleton was crushed and smashed. Thereafter, the shattered limbs were braided into the spokes of the large wheel. The wheel has to be one of the most gruesome of all torturous devices. The idea is that the victim's limbs were shattered and entwined around the spokes of the wheel, attaching them to it. The thumb screw. The thumb screw was a device where the victim's thumbs were placed and systematically crushed. Similar devices were used on the toes. Thumb screws were often applied at the same time as the strappado and other torture devices to inflict more pain. The water torture. The victim was stripped and bound to a bench or table, and a funnel was inserted and pressed down into his throat. Water was poured into the funnel in jugs full with his or her nose being pinched, forcing him or her to swallow. After this was repeated enough times to where the victim's stomach was almost to burst, the bend of the table was then tilted until the victim's head pointing to the floor. The water in the stomach put painful pressure on the victim's lungs and heart. There was not only the incredible pain with this, but also the feeling of suffocation. Inquisitors would also beat upon the stomach with mallets to the point of internal rupture. In another variation, the victim was forced to swallow large quantities of water together with lengths of knotted cord. The cords were then violently yanked from the victim's mouth, resulting in disemboweling. The Iron Maiden, also known as the Virgin Mary. Covering the front side of this device was a statue of the Virgin Mary. Inside were spikes, sharp knives, or nails. Levers would move the arms of the statue, crushing the victim against the knives and nails. Other devices and methods. Force feeding of overly salted foods that exalted in extreme thirst, then the denial of water. Immersion in scalding water laced with lime. Yanking back and forth by two or more inquisitors with ropes attached to a spiked iron collar. This tore the flesh on the victim's neck. Variations used screws that could be tightened. The prayer stool, a spike board on which the victim was forced to kneel. Stocks which were fitted with iron spikes. Slowly roasting victims over fire. Walking a witch entailed forcing a victim to walk back and forth for days on end until completely exhausted. A variation of this was having the victim sit cross-legged upon a wooden stool, being deprived of movement or sleep. Some victims were as much as 80 years old. Thrawing, similar to the spiked iron collar, only a rope was tied tightly around the head and the victim was yanked back and forth. Turcus, these were a variation of pincers used to pull out fingernails. Many were thrown in filthy dungeons with no light or human contact, in addition often being chained or confined in the stocks. Scoring above the breath. The ancient belief that bleeding a witch above the mouth and nose would break a spell incited inquisitors to tear flesh, stick with needles and other instruments upon the victim's face. Galileo Galilei, the famous Italian astronomer and physicist, was one of the most noted victims of the Inquisition. A letter in which he attempted to demonstrate the Copernican theory that the Earth is not the center of the universe was forwarded by some of his enemies to the inquisitors in Rome. He was tried in 1633 and found guilty of heresy. He was forced to recant, publicly withdraw his statement, and was sentenced to life imprisonment under house arrest. In 1979, Pope John Paul II declared that the Roman Catholic Church may have been mistaken in condemning him, and he established a commission to study the case. In 1993, the Catholic Church officially pardoned Galileo. In other words, they forgave him for teaching that the planets revolve around the sun and not the earth. The loss of human life. And I want to add something here. This is genocide against the white race. And it's all in Europe. Salzburg, Austria, 1677 through 1681, over 100 murdered. Basque region of the Pyrenees, 1608, Laura Pierre de Lancre was sent to the region to root out and destroy those who worship pagan gods. Over 600 tortured and murdered. Witch judge Henry Bouguer, circa 1550 through 1619, sent some 600 victims to their deaths in Burgundy, many of them young children who were systematically tortured and then burned alive. A pregnant woman was burned alive, and from the trauma, she gave birth before she died. The baby was tossed back into the flames. The Swedish town of Mora, 1669, more than 300 murdered, among them 15 children. 36 children between the ages of 9 and 15 were made to run the gauntlet and were beaten with rods upon their hands once a week for an entire year. 20 of the youngest children, all under the age of 9, were whipped on their hands at the church door for 3 Sundays in succession. Many more were severely beaten for witchcraft offenses. In Scotland, under the rule of Oliver Cromwell, a total of 120 in a single month were murdered in 1661. Estimates of the total dead have been as high as 17,000 between 1563 and 1603. In Würzburg, Germany, the Chancellor wrote a graphic account in the year of 1629. There are 300 children of 3 or 4 years who are said to have had intercourse with the devil. I have seen children of 7 put to death, and brave little scholars of 10, 12, 14, and 15 years of age. Between the years of 1623 and 1633, some 900 witches were put to death throughout Würzburg. This was largely maintained by the Jesuits. The chronicler of Treves reported in 1586 that the entire female population of 2 villages was wiped out by inquisitors. Only 2 women were left alive. Noted cases included the Knights Templar, Joan of Arc, who was chained by the neck, hands, and feet and locked in a cramped iron cage, Galileo, who stated that the earth revolved around the sun and was not the center of the universe, as the church taught. The above accounts were taken from Cassell Dictionary of Witchcraft by David Pickering. On Sunday, March 12, 2002, Pope John Paul II apologized for the errors of his church for the last 2,000 years. Like as if they're really sorry. Okay, the references for this article is The Dark Side of Christian History by Helen Ellerby, page 124, Cassell Dictionary of Witchcraft by David Pickering, World Book Encyclopedia article on the Inquisition, Wizards and Sorcerers by Tom Ogden, article on the Inquisition, more of these, The Dark Side of Christian History by Helen Ellerby, and World Book Encyclopedia article on Galileo.